listening to WCNO Palm City.
We're letting people in. We're not racing down to the traffic light. We're just pausing and letting people in front of us. And as you say, there's a lot of joy in allowing that to happen. So I'd like to just kind of finish this section, and I think we'll pick up, Red, on our next session with Jesus now turning to help us understand the Scriptures and how we're to read them. And this Sermon on the Mount is such a valuable teaching for us disciples of Jesus, and it's one that I've been meditating on a lot in these last couple of months. God's been teaching me a lot about my own personal attitudes toward things and people, and it's a good meditation. So the desperate need we have for God and our now unself-centeredness, selfishness, are becoming other-centered, which is the main theme of the Bible. God is other-centered. He's all for us.
Yes, I love it. Now, blessed are those who mourn. Something I never thought about. We all have problems in our lives, and I'm sure everybody listening to this, you know, we all tend to think everybody else has it. Their family must be perfect, but we have this challenge or that challenge. But late in life, I've realized Jesus, it is written that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and also that he was a man acquainted with many sorrows. Well, if Yeshua or Jesus of Nazareth had to go through sorrows in order to learn things, how much more will we as his disciples need to embrace the valleys that we experience so we can become more Christ-like?
Yeah, I think that's in reference to his role as our Savior. Obviously, as our Creator, he needs to learn nothing. He's the embodiment of God's wisdom. But to become our Savior required great sacrifice on his part. And I think what you just quoted is in reference to him being our Savior. He's my Savior, but he's also my Lord. So, yeah, good point.
But I know a lot of people want to run from the sadness or the sorrow that they may experience, but you know, if we certainly don't grow when we're fat and happy. We grow when
we grow when we have a desperate need of God in our life, Rhett.
Well, I tell you what, you know, because over these past 5-6 years, I've been attending classes with you as the rabbi there, reading the Bible, and this men's group we go to on Tuesdays, and I perceived you as being a gentle spirit. And I hear that your children call you Poppy, and they have great love for you and respect. But for you to come forth and say it took your wife 20 years of battling you to say, you know, just to become more gentle in spirit and a calmer, tender voice.
Well, I was challenging her to change, right? Come on, Laura, just change and be like me, okay? Be argumentative, be didactic here. Allow interruptions to be part of your normal life, you know? Once I figure out what you're going to say, I don't need to hear any more words. I can tell you what I think, because what I think is more important than what you think. So just listen to my voice and hear my thoughts and agree with me.
I got to tell you what, have you been reading my whatever it is, what do they say, reading my mail?
No, but the reality is my wife is so relational. She's so effective with people. And I'm just in awe of just how she just manages her relationships. She's such a giving person. She's always thinking of others, and it's embarrassing for me the way that she thinks for others, and I don't even give them a care. You know, it's like, what do I want to accomplish today? So, you know, this life experience is transformation. God is changing us moment by moment, and we should allow the process of transformation to take place. But we are habitual people, you know. We're ingrained. There's instincts, and you know, we're very earthly. We have this sin nature that we're constantly confronting, and our culture and the world around us is telling us things that are very contrary to God and His wisdom. And then we have the demons that are actively engaging us and battling against us. So it's quite the challenge to walk through this world. And And we get 70, 80, 90 years of life, and then we get a choice of where we're going to spend eternity. And so many people are not making that choice because they have a misconception of what relationship with God is supposed to be.
And I do want to say this also. You know, when if anybody out there likes to fish, I'm not really a fisherman, but I think most of us fish at least once or twice in life. Well, you don't clean a fish and then catch it. You catch the fish. Meaning this, do not presuppose that you have to be somehow a holy person or a person without sin to come to the Lord. The Lord accepts us right where, I don't care where you've been sleeping, where you haven't been sleeping, what you've done or what you've left undone. The Lord says, come to me. And then once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, no matter how bad you've been, no matter what wrong you've done, if you are sorrowful for that and just want a new beginning, he will give you a new beginning. But I will tell you this, it may not happen the first year or the second year, but if you have accepted Jesus into your heart, he will begin. I remember I used to go into Christian bookstores when I was first born again, and I'd read that. I don't want to read that. I just want to have, okay, Jesus. I just want to sing Kumbaya and everything's all right. Thank you, Jesus.
Right. I don't want to deal with my own issues yet, just yet. And God is, he's very gentle and very patient with us. And but we come to a place where we start mourning the effects of our own bad behavior, okay,
yeah,
and our own ungodly attitudes and actions.
Oh boy!
And it's a process. So,
Listen, Mike. Mike Bagby, it's great to see you. Love you in the Lord, bro. And he's a biblical historian. Been to Israel many times.
You don't have to say that, Red.
Well, no, but can people tune in and out? I want them to to give you the credibility that they understand. You know what you are. I'm Red Palmer. I'm a nobody. But God has made me so. Hopefully, you still love me. Anyway, you too can be loved eternally by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. By the way, we have a bag of coffee that's between us right here. We're not going to go on and on like some of these podcasters or other hosts. We will tell you that this coffee is available. We've just started this. It's called a Cup of Friendship. And what's the website, Michael?
Cupoffriendship.com.
Roasted and we have three different flavors, and you actually cook the coffee. What do you call that? You bake it?
Yeah, we bake it. We put it in the oven and bake it. No, we have a roaster.
Yeah.
We roast coffee. We do it on Tuesday and Friday here in Vero Beach at the Rio Coco Cafe. Come by, and you can smell it before you – when you get out of your car, you will smell the roast going on. So,
yeah. Okay, well, listen, God bless you, and we'll see you, maybe either later this week or perhaps next week. Okay. Adios, amigo. Glory to the Lord. So there we have it. Okay.
So, Rhett, when do you want to pick up and continue the Sermon on the Mount? You want to do it on Friday?
Well, I know I have a former diplomat coming in Friday. I know Doolin will not be there. He's on holiday. That guy's from 10 to 11. We have someone else that does a show. They zoom in from Vermont, actually, on Fridays, I think at noon. So,
Doolin, when
Nick,
are you,
let's
when
just
are you
wait till next Wednesday.
Well, I won't be here Friday, but Noah will be in the studio, so he can be here to run the show for you whenever.
Do you want to do something on Friday, Red?
9 to 10?
Yeah, we can do 9 to 10.
Okay. And you might want to stick around for this. He can be a little abrasive. He is a former U.S. diplomat, claims that his family was Republican, but he's very anti-Trump, and he gives me a lot of contest.
And why are you having him on your show?
Well, I had him on for 8 years straight until it just kind of like realized I don't really want much to do with man's politics. But he is called to come on once in a while if there's a certain conflict going on. You know, there is a lot of conflict in the world today. So it's and I don't mind hearing other points of view because as they say, the proverbial spring, if you stretch it out, it never goes all the way back. And I should listen to opposing views. It doesn't mean I have to embrace them. But So it's, and he's a very smart man. He went to the London School of Economics, and you know, pretty bright fellow. It'd be good if you were in there, actually, if you could meet him, because I'd like to see him come to know the Lord. I think he maybe when he was younger had a perfunctory relationship by going to church, which I don't think he attends anymore. I don't think he really knows the Lord. I don't think he's been born again. And also, you know, I was just thinking when you were talking about Laura, I hope maybe in the fall or in the spring, maybe it would be really nice if Laura could encounter Barbara and Barbara could encounter Laura.
Sure, sure. I think we could have Laura at one of our segments, you know.
Oh, definitely. She's a wise woman of the Lord. And yeah. But anyway, so Friday at 9 o'clock, we're going to do that?
Friday at 9 o'clock. That'll work for
me. Okay, we'll go 9 to 10. And then if you want to stick around with him, you know, you can.
Well, I can ask him about the London School of Economics. You know, it was started by Beatrice Webb and her husband, and they were members of the Fabian Society, and they were very socialists.
Okay.
And when they Beatrice wrote in her diary, I think in 1895, that we've placed all our hope in the educational and social development of mankind. And then in 1925, this is like 30 years later, after World War I, she said, "We are so disappointed in the experience of mankind. We've so hoped for better responses from all of our time and training." She was very desperate because all of her life work, she recognized, was a failure.
Oh, boy.
Because it's not going to be economics or social programs that's going to change the heart of man. And Matthew records this as Jesus's first teaching, and it probably has most significance for those of us who call ourselves disciples of Jesus, followers of him. Matthew starts off by recording Jesus saying, Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are mourning. Blessed are those who are gentle. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Past times, we have traditionally looked at these blessedness virtues singly, and oftentimes, at least in my experience, they've come as a high bar of behavior and attitudes that I could never really
achieve. Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.